Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Payne and Pendergast with you into the 9 o'clock hour. Sean Pendergast.
I was Ellie, we were having a conversation with Ellie, and it was one of those things where I was like, this is going to look really bad in the transcripts when this comes up someday.
I know.
Yeah, no, but Ellie, the problem is Ellie was participating, but they would omit her part of the transcript.
She would be redacted.
And they would have my part where I was describing, she had asked, what was the Love Boat scandal in 2005?
Yeah.
And it was this scandal where the Minnesota Vikings had commissioned a boat to take a bunch of guys on the team out for a good time, and there were some perhaps ladies of the night on board too.
Perhaps.
And things got kind of crazy.
Right. Yeah, kind of.
It got kind of, anytime Fred Smoot's involved, things get crazy. But things got super crazy. Brian McKinney was involved with even more craziness. Just look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But so as I'm describing this, I'm like, this is we got to be careful with it. So this all came up because at the NFL draft this year, which is going to be in Las Vegas.
Right.
Wholesome is they're going to introduce the first round picks by bringing them out on a boat in front of the Bellagio.
There's going to be a boat like from the green room to the stage,
Isn't
and they're
the
going to ride on a boat. I think Bellagio. Yeah, I think
that's the big fountain there. Right?
Yeah.
So they're going to be coming out there. So my first thought was like, gosh, the Vikings have to have Fred Smoot introduce their first round pick. They've got to make some kind of love boat
and ride on the boat with him.
Yes.
And ride on the boat with him. That would be great. I was listening to Damon Amendola before our show started on CBS Sports Radio. I'm sure he shared, and I like DA. I'm sure he shares the opinion of many hosts that are like, this is too much. This is, they're using boats to carry the draft picks from the green room to the stage. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
Let's not take ourselves too seriously. Let's give them a boat. Let's give them pyro. Let's let them pick what theme song they want to ride over on the little mini lake to the stage. Let's let them be WWE wrestlers. Let's turn the draft basically into the Royal Rumble. That's what it's going to be.
The Love Boat scandal from 2005, I really can't. I'll just read the first few paragraphs. Like, this is how it all got reported. You might wonder
this is going to be different than when Seth read the coffee bean.
How did a private party become public affair?
Get its own wiki page.
It was a woman called police around 9:20 p.m. to report that approximately seven men had urinated in her yard after exiting a big shuttle bus limousine. The woman later mentioned that the men were sitting at Al and Alma's, the name of the charter cruise company that the Vikings players were later to allege to use the party. I think there went on to be a whole lot of bunch of different acts performed at the party of all different types, but that also they kind of trashed the boat too by leaving behind all the things that happened with it. It was
residue.
It was a messy scene. Let's call it literally a messy scene.
Yeah.
So that was that was a big deal for a while. That was like my eighth or ninth year in the league, I remember.
It was pre-social media, so you didn't learn about scandals like that nearly as much as you might now.
It was a shame now, but as far as I remember, there weren't any acts of violence or anything. It was this crazy wild party. And unfortunately, the details of the party got out into the public, and it was a bad look for the Vikings.
That's exactly what it is.
It was a crazy wild party.
Ask yourself.
And some guys peed in a woman's yard, and that's what ended up. If they just wouldn't have peed in a woman's yard.
And other things went on that have become urban legend, which have actually been corroborated to be true. I just put it this way. Yeah, there wasn't anything illegal, although prostitution is illegal, so that might be one thing.
Right.
But in terms of violence and things like that, no, there wasn't any of that. I would just say, imagine if there were this story with the Texans. Imagine if a Love Boat story surfaced with the Texans.
This is
it'd be a gigantic PR nightmare.
And the quote I'll read is, the cleaning crew had to clean up a whole bunch of stuff.
Stuff
that you might find at a marriage enhancement type store.
Right.
And the quote was, It was just incredible how it was left. Never in the history of this group of people have they ever had anything like this, unquote. The people that ran the charter boat.
Every other charter after that felt like a piece of cake.
Let me tell you this about the Minnesota Vikings. The stories that I'd heard of the Minnesota Vikings for a good chunk of time in the 90s and on until like right up into the Love Boat incident is that they just had a particular crew of guys that could party like nobody's business. And it was just, it was kind of insane. And then they used to do this thing, this winter wonderland every year with old Vikings players where they'd go up, everybody would be snowmobiling and everything. It would somewhere outside of Minneapolis and it was an awesome time, but it got too wild.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there started being incidents every year and they had to shut it down. But it was just, there's something about cold weather because it was the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I would hear stories all over the place about just these legendary feats that these dudes.
Nothing else to do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like old school NFL stuff, kind of like 1970s Dallas Cowboys type stuff was still going on with those two teams well into the 90s.
That's wild. Pedro Martinez was asked about Mike Fiers. Here's what he had to say.
When it comes, if you tell me that Mike Fiers is coming to my team, and you already threw your team under the bus, the team that you used to play
for. You think the A's, his teammates with Oakland, don't like what he did? I know it, Houston. I mean, we know that.
Well, now everybody's going to know that you have a whistleblower in any other situation, too. Whatever happens in the clubhouse, it stays in the clubhouse, and Fiers broke the rules. I mean, I agree with cleaning up the game. I agree with the fact that the commissioner is taking a hard hand on this, but at the same time, players should not be the ones dropping the whistleblower.
There's you like that music in the background, don't you?
Concentrate because of hey-ya. Dude, you drop hey-ya in any situation in my life, I'm going to start dancing.
I know.
It's the timer. My timer alert is hey-ya.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will never, ever get sick of that song.
There's no way to separate the audio from Pedro and that music, unfortunately. Were you going to say something about hey-ya again?
It is interesting. Like the picture he paints, I hadn't thought of it from a pure practical standpoint. Are people going to be looking at Mike Fiers as they're like, oh, what's that you're putting in your hair? That looks pretty sticky. I'm gonna have my eye on you, fella. If you're out there, don't be trying to put the pine tar in your glove when I'm out there.
he's like a policeman.
Yeah.
He's like the kid that. The kid that was like the crossing guard in elementary school.
Because there's the whistleblower side where our guy's gonna think that he did the wrong thing, but I never thought about it moving forward. Is Mike, and this is where I don't think they would. A lot of the reports will say that pitchers had been complaining about this type of stuff, not just with the Astros, of course, but with multiple teams. I mean, I can remember talking to people in 2017 on the Astros who were paranoid about what was going on with the Red Sox and what the Red Sox were doing to steal signs. So pitchers have been paranoid about that. I mean, is it paranoia if people are actually screwing you over? It's not paranoia. They've been complaining to the league for a long time about it. And I almost wonder if Fiers had gotten to the point where he felt like, all right, well, if they're not going to do anything about it, then I'll just go public with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it's fair to wonder, would there have been punishment coming from Major League Baseball if there had not been a player to put his name on it in an article?
Well,
if it was just some random rumors and rumblings, does Major League Baseball get vigilant about it? Or do they just go, that's rumors and rumblings? Like, Fiers putting his name on it and putting a face on it, I'm not a Mike Fiers fan, and I do think there's something a little... there's something uncomfortable about watching him celebrate with the team in 2017, knowing now what he did, that he got to sort of have his cake and eat it too. But I do wonder if there would have been any punishment if there it had just been sort of anonymous sources as opposed to Mike Fiers.
You know, it's interesting, and this is where you get in baseball, and especially with sticky stuff with pitchers, because there's kind of a... it's not even an unwritten rule, but in baseball, for the most part, managers aren't going to call out other pitchers unless it's something egregious because... who knows what their own guys might be doing and vice versa. And I think with hitters, there maybe is a little bit of the same of, all right, I don't want to call people out because people on my own team might be doing something. But those are largely individual things. I think part of what happened with the Astros was the fact that it seemed systemic and that it was actually conducted in a coordinated manner. People accept there's going to be a certain amount of cheating. They don't like cheating campaigns, I suppose. And that's where I guess maybe is one of the areas where it crossed the line. But when it comes to players speaking out against other players, it's always like, all right, well, look, maybe some of my own teammates are doing something, and I don't want to screw these guys over by calling something out. And there's always a fine line you got to walk there.
Yeah. Pedro gave a solution to the problem of players. If you've got an issue with the sign stealing, here's what Pedro would do.
If you have integrity, you find ways to tell everybody in the clubhouse, hey, we might get in trouble for this. I don't want to be part of this. You call your GM, you tell them, or you call anybody that you can, or MLB or someone, and say, I don't want to be part of this. Or you tell the team, get me out of here. I don't want to be part of this. And then you show me something. But if you leave Houston, and most likely you didn't agree with Houston when you left it, and then you go and drop the entire team under the bus, I don't trust you. I won't trust you. I won't trust you because we did have that rule.
So, Pedro, to be clear here, he doesn't want you to be a tattletale or a whistleblower unless you're tattletaling to your general manager. Like, so I don't know what he's talking about here. If there's on the one side, don't tattletale on your buddies to a reporter. Okay, that's fine. But he's also advocating, you know, go tattle to the general manager. Like, they're one and the same, other than one's going to be handled in-house and one won't. I suppose... And again, you get into this hazy area of, all right, what are the unwritten rules or what's the actual acceptable? I think the one thing that struck me when I was listening I'm blanking on the old hitting coach for the Astros, Dave Hudgens, that did an interview with The Athletic, is he talked about, hey, look, I cooperated with the investigation. I think the old school mentality, I think in a lot of ways, would have been, hey, if baseball is going to try to talk to you and have you admit to something, you know, don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's changed so much in the last 20 and 30 years. And I think mostly it started with the RICO laws. It started with the RICO Act that in Ma.
Bunch of rats. Nobody wants to do time no more.
It's good people. The stigma attached to being a rat is not what it once was, probably for the betterment of society and whatnot. But I think the fact that almost everybody cooperated with that investigation is kind of just telling of where society is moving and about what your expectations are. And I think that maybe I don't think Mike Fier is going to be viewed within baseball the same way Pedro Martinez thinks he's going to be. He's not going to be held to a 1978 standard.
I will remind you that without the mob, there would be no Sopranos. So, if you want to eradicate the mob, eradicating one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
But without the RICO Act, there would be no Sopranos
either.
That's
true.
That's kind of where that's where it gets more, there's more intrigue there because there's the backstabbing element.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I was talking to one of our big-time listeners who's a vice cop for Houston, was telling me about just working with drug dealers and confidential informants and everything, and about how, what it's like when sometimes, man, the guy finds out that the guy that's been informing on him is the guy he thought would never do would never, ever do it. And he said they all, at some point, almost everybody cracks because it comes down to, oh, okay, my family's not going to have anybody around.
That's
or
what
I've
happened to Johnny Sack.
Out. Yeah.
Jimmy Petrillo ratted him out.
Yeah.
Tony said, he's a sweet old guy, Jimmy Petrillo. He's a rat.
You know what our other guy told me is, ironically enough, it was before game 6 of the World Series. I was talking to him. He needs probably Lightstream right now. He's like on a cop salary and he bought game 6 tickets. But he was telling me how many of these drug dealers that he finds, they go into their home and they're living in a mansion with no furniture. Like, they're just these, like, 25-year-old kids in a McMansion and no furniture because they're 25. They got a kick-ass sound system and video games and everything.
That's all you need.
But they never thought to decorate anything.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Sean, a listener commends us for holding off on the Minnesota Vikings love boat scandal of 2005. We didn't discuss it until after 9 a.m.
That's true.
He points out that middle school for a lot of kids starts at 8:45 a.m.
So we need
to push our blue material back into the 9 o'clock hour entirely.
Well,
not that we ever get too dirty or anything, but...
The 9 o'clock hour is going to sound like an HBO special.
a whole lot of bumping and grinding at 9 a.m.
Are you kidding me?
You know what we did the one time that made sense was you said you substituted sex for lasagna.
Yeah.
As in, like, oh, I love lasagna.
Right.
Oh, I can't get enough lasagna. I want to have lasagna 3 times if I can handle it, and I've got my blue chew on board.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like you can get away with that.
We danced around it.
Because one of our listeners that morning said my kid said something about That crazy guy that loves lasagna.
Yeah, he said that. He was talking about you. He goes, boy, that host is crazy. He really loves lasagna.
That crazy guy loves lasagna.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, we'll stick until 9 a.m. I'm just sorry. I feel bad. I feel bad for some of the people that have had to, talk about the birds and bees to your 12-year-old.
Yeah, why not let Seth and I educate your kids?
Okay, so now since we're here, since it's 9:20 a.m., and this is a story about a husband talking to a wife, okay? Right. But with the beauty of self. So my wife,
the beauty of cell phones.
My wife texted me. She sent me this video one day. She was like, you know, I had a birds and the bees discussion with our daughter, and she said there were some loose ends that we needed to clear up. I thought the public school system had handled it or something, but she showed me how she demonstrated, and she did the finger in the. Jonesy's going to get nervous here. She did the motion of using a finger in your other hand or anything.
Yeah.
But my wife did for accuracy's sake, not this isn't the one she did with my daughter, but she showed me she did the errant first thrust. it hit the edge, and then on her second thrust, it was
all good.
I was like, hey, that's on. Not 100%.
Come on now.
I've been doing this for a while.
That's right. That's funny. I would pay good money to watch you give a birds and the bees talk to anybody.
To a 40-year-old. Here's the thing. A man and a woman, they fit together like a puzzle, but not one of those really difficult puzzles.
Those really simple ones that are like really eight pieces. Simple.
More like Legos.
Yes. They fit the big Legos.
Like big Lego blocks.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Sometimes you like them bigger than others.
So how pervasive do you think burner accounts are?
Well, okay, by burner account...
And for those who don't know...
An account that's anonymous and that you don't want people to know who you are.
Right.
I would imagine...
Kevin Durant is probably the most notorious burner account athlete maybe ever because he got found out.
He had
a burner account. He created a fake account to stick up for Kevin Durant and all the haters on Twitter.
And then I think even sometimes you... Maybe if you block a bunch of people on Twitter, but you still want to monitor what they're doing, you might have a burner account.
Yeah.
I have, it's funny. I got accused of using a burner account once, and it was funny because my podcast is the Deceptively Fast Podcast, which I trust me, everybody, episodes are coming.
It'll be back.
But I have a Deceptively Fast Twitter account that I hardly ever use, but every now and then I use it. And I forget to switch back from it sometimes. So one time I responded to somebody using my Deceptively Fast account. The person accused me of using a burner account, and I'm like, the picture on the Deceptively Fast Twitter account is me. It's a picture of me. You must think I'm the dumbest person on earth that I'm using a burner account disguised as myself to...
No, that's kind of next level.
Yeah, that is. So anyway,
it's just so crazy.
I don't think that many people do, just because I think like most people find out. It's difficult to keep these things straight. That's how Kevin Durant gets found out, right?
Yeah.
Like you forget and you tweet from your burner account. I know I would not be able to keep it straight.
Well, John Boy, that worm, he seems to think that he's found a Justin Verlander burner account.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Justin Verlander, the account is at Jonathan12345, which fits the name profile of a burner account.
It fits a name profile, but unfortunately... Well, go ahead and tell me his case, and I'm going to tell you why.
I'll just read some of the tweets. How's that? He's taking up for this particular account, whether it's Verlander or not. He's tweeting things like, the pitchers had nothing to do with this. Justin Verlander was a Cy Young winner. People calling the Astros cheaters need to take the pitchers out of it. By the way, Jonathan12345 has the generic Twitter silhouette head.
Yeah.
This particular account doesn't have a profile picture. Right. Here's another one. They won't speak out even though their actions put the Astros pitchers in such a bad situation. They did nothing wrong, and now we'll have to answer the question.
This is what's happening, and this is where people are stupid. You know what's really, really easy to do? Even easier to do than to have your own burner account is to create an account that looks like somebody's burner account.
Right.
Like, all you have to do is come up with an account and then vocally defend themselves, and then stupidly, like, do you think Justin Verlander, I feel like he would be smart enough not to use a J word in his burner account and whatnot. I think a lot of burner accounts, it's kind of irresponsible for people to say, hey, look at this, it must be a Bill O'Brien burner account. Well, no, the more likely answer is that it's either somebody trying real hard to make it look like a Bill O'Brien burner account, or it's somebody who's a huge fan or family member or something. You can't say, wow.
He's not using their real name.
This could conceivably be Bill O'Brien, so it must be Bill O'Brien.
I think there's 0% chance that Bill O'Brien is in his office tweeting. We'll get to O'Brien here in just a second. Just a couple more of the tweets from the Verlander one. Justin earned that ring by pitching his heart out in the regular and postseason. He obviously hates that the hitters did what they did, but that doesn't take away from everything that Justin put into that title run.
Yeah.
Justin wanted to speak up but couldn't. Now, this is where you start to get into somebody claiming they know what Justin thought or wanted to do. Justin wanted to speak up but couldn't because the system was underway when he got there. One pitcher can't stop something this big when it's underway and the team is in that deep.
Yeah, no, but again, because ever since we had the Carlos Beltran's niece, supposedly, and people actually bid on it, now everybody's trying that. Everybody's going to try to create something that looks like it could be somebody's actual burner account, and they're gonna throw stuff out there.
Well, our colleague Landry Locker has basically turned into Law and Order burner account.
He's
tried to turn into a detective. He found an account yesterday named Jacko69.
Yeah.
Boy, that's not... Jacko69 is the Twitter account. And Landry retweets it with the word burner and a bunch of flames next to it. And I think he thinks this is a Bill O'Brien burner account. It tweets, "You can't have a committee unless everyone agrees it's the best way to run your organization. Olson not buying into the committee structure left Bill O'Brien no choice but to let him go."
Now that, if that's a real burner account,
right,
it's somebody that isn't disguising themselves well enough. Or now if it is a fake burner account, it's brilliant because that makes it look like, oh, wow, this is a person with inside information.
Yeah, I feel like it could almost be a satire of a burner account.
But it doesn't make any sense because why would Olson not like the committee approach? The committee approach, by definition, gives Olson more power than he otherwise would have.
One would think.
Yeah, one would think.
Yeah.
So, again, but is Landry claiming to know that somehow, wow, this completely anonymous account that could be anybody, which could easily be somebody trying to make it look like it's Chris Olson or whoever else, or Bill O'Brien, then it doesn't make any sense.
We'll ask him when he comes in to do the toss.
I'm looking forward to that.
Is there going to be an incident?
There's not going to be an incident. I'm going to ask him questions. Okay. Honestly, to throw out and say, oh, this... It's making a baseless accusation of somebody with zero actual evidence.
Right.
Like, no evidence that it came from an IP address that's over an NRG stadium or anything like that.
Right.
It's completely baseless. It turns into, if somebody on the text line, if some anonymous number texted you and made some scurrilous rumor about somebody, would you just read it on air and say, wow, this must be true?
This must be somebody's phone. No, I wouldn't, of course.
No, of course you wouldn't. Yeah. Right, and likewise, because you see something that looks like it could be something. Like, this is the thing. This is a problem with conspiracy theories sometimes and whatnot. Just because something is plausible, that's not evidence.
Right.
Like, just because something could happen, that doesn't mean that it happened.
Yeah.
The onus is on proving that something happened, not proving... The onus is not on proving that something didn't happen with no evidence out there because of it.
If you want any proof of the recklessness of it, just know that both of my sons texted me yesterday with a copy of Landry's tweet saying burner account, acting like Landry discovered plutonium. Like, look, Pops, look, Landry found OB's burner account.
There are a whole lot of people out there getting...
That's the scary part.
There's a whole lot of people getting duped on the internet right now because they can't see one step ahead into the troll game. There's like PFT commenter, who's really funny on Twitter. He's a troll, basically, or he used to be. Now he's more legitimate. But he would just have these ridiculous comments. And usually it's fun to go through the feed and see all the people that didn't get the joke, you know, where
it's the best.
Let's say he says something ridiculous, like Abraham Lincoln had seven wives or something like that. So you get all these people to respond to it. So that's the first level of it. But then you have the next level is the people that pretend that they don't get the joke. So they go on, and then you get all these people rising up against the pretend not joke getters. And it's very confusing.
Process,
yeah,
a lot to process.
Landry's got to take this one step further. Maybe. He's getting duped by somebody that's trying to make it look like there's a burner account.
Maybe the Amish were onto something.
Internet. Just simplify.
No internet. Yeah, just give me my booze and my little black hat, horse and buggy, and let me do my thing.
Where people's intentions
are true.
Yeah, and just like in any super religious thing like that, just be sure that you cloak your vices very, very well.
Right, behind alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just going to take it out behind the barn.
That's exactly.
That's why they created
manner
barns.
Of speaking. Yeah.
So you're going to do stuff behind it.
Yeah.
So like, is that where we keep the horses? I guess. But yeah. the real action's behind it.
I contend that they created woodsheds so that you could take people out back to the woodshed.
Yeah.
Like in sports. Seth, we get a gauge while we're doing the show here of what the topics are with these big national stories like the Super Bowl. Just the shows that are running on TV here.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like 90% of the topics so far this week on the Super Bowl have been, can you trust Jimmy Garoppolo? Can you trust him in a close game? Can you trust him in a blowout? Can you trust Jimmy Garoppolo in a high-scoring game? Can you trust Jimmy Garoppolo to protect the football?
I do not trust him in a car. I do not trust him from afar. I do not trust him in a hole. I do not trust him. Yeah.
Whoa. Now, here's the thing. Jimmy Garoppolo, he likes to go to big events with porn stars.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has a really annoying girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of things that I would judge my quarterbacks on.
Which one? That's true. Judgment.
Judgment.
Well, this is something that I used to fight against, but now I'm starting to see it and understand it. With the quarterback position alone, I feel like your judgment decisions in life actually trickle over into the play on the field. A numero uno in this case is Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, notoriously poor judgment. And like, let's not even talk about the actual criminal acts.
Right.
But let's talk about standing up on a picnic table in the quad. Let's talk about the nonviolent criminal acts, like stealing the lobster because he thought he had an arrangement. Was it crab legs?
Crab legs.
Crab legs. Because he thought he had an arrangement. All these various things. Jameis Winston licking the W. Like, poor judgment away from the football field, or at least, you know, on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And it filters over into his actual life.
If someone handed you Jameis Winston's Wikipedia page, just print it out without the football stuff, just the personal life stuff, and said, how many interceptions do you think this guy threw?
And
I'd look at it and go, probably 30.
Some of the other positions on the football field, like, poor judgment in life is almost a benefit. A coach I had used to say when he was recruiting in college, he wanted defensive linemen that were into fighting and fornicating.
Yeah,
and
the two F's.
He used a different word.
Yeah.
You know, either one or the two. He said either one of the two. This was an old school SEC guy. He was pretty funny.
You don't
he was
say.
Like, well, you know what I learned. Right. I always said if they ain't into either fighting or fornicating, then they're probably not very good defensive linemen.
Bunch of panty
waste.
What
are you into, son?
Seth's like both.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Can we add gambling? But with quarterbacks, there's something to it. So Pat Mahomes' biggest off-field transgression is that his girlfriend, she seems like she's a bit much sometimes on social media.
I'll be honest, she seems fun.
She seems like that, and that's where I was going with
people
this.
Hate her, they hate me tweeting that I think she's fun.
But I would say it's not like he went for just some stupid, emotionless, no personality hoe, you know? Like, he seems like there's something to her.
She's invested.
So she's annoying on social media, but I think that, okay, I actually kind of like that he's with somebody that didn't just check off all the boxes, you know?
Right.
Whereas Jimmy Garoppolo is almost the opposite. Jimmy Garoppolo likes him some porn stars.
He clearly likes one of those two Fs. Like,
he's going all superficiality.
Yeah.
I don't know. I worry. I feel like that filters over into his judgment. Now, Pat Mahomes, it's interesting because Garoppolo's older, but Mahomes doesn't have more total experience in terms of NFL games.
That's a good
question. Started.
You know, I bet he does because Garoppolo, because Garoppolo only started like two games for the Patriots.
Yeah.
He started five games his first year in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Then he was injured all of last season. I think Mahomes, in terms of number of starts, is more experienced.
More experience, and he had issues with play turnovers sometimes in the fourth quarter last year. This year, he got it under control, and he played, you know, he played like a more responsible quarterback this year. He played like a more mature quarterback.
You're talking about Garoppolo?
No. Mahomes.
Okay.
Apologize if I said Garoppolo. Yeah. Mahomes has gotten kind of reined that in, whereas Garoppolo has always had these games, including when he played the Texans in that victory. I thought when he played the Texans that year that he was lucky not to have four interceptions, you know, and that's what that's honestly my first impression of him was like, wow, he's got a quick release and a great arm, but man, some of these judgment, some of these decisions he's making, and he hasn't quite ironed that out before, or ironed that out yet. So yeah, that's like that's the big wild card in the Super Bowl is that there's a chance that Garoppolo might cough up a couple, where I don't think people are as worried about that with Mahomes.
No, I don't think so. I think you're right about that. So J.J. Watt is going to be on Saturday Night Live the night before the Super Bowl, February 1st. Circle your calendars. Does that mean he's going to be in direct competition with the Texans show they do on Channel 13 on Saturday nights? Do they still do that show in the offseason? I don't know. There's a Texans show on Saturday nights on Channel 13.
They don't do that in the offseason.
They don't? Okay, well, good. Well, then J.J. Watt won't be cannibalizing the taking food out of the mouths of the families of our friends Drew Doherty, D.P. Sidhu, and company. I think they host that Saturday night show. The date for J.J. Watt is February 1st. Seth, how much are you looking forward to seeing J.J. Watt? How do you think he'll do? Like, if you had to predict a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think what do you think his grade will be in his performance?
That's interesting. I think there's a high floor. I don't think he's going to do – I'm not worried about him doing poorly.
Yeah.
I think, for one, he has a good sense of humor about himself. You've seen him dance in commercials and everything before, like, and he knows that he's not dancing well in the commercial. So that's key. Being able to laugh at yourself, and they're gonna put you in some, Derek Jeter. Remember Derek Jeter dressed up as
Derek Jeter. Yeah.
What did I say? Daryl Jeter?
I called him Daryl.
Boy, it's getting late in the show. Yeah. Early this morning, I was like, you know what? I don't feel bad for having had a late night.
No, you and I. And
now I feel bad right this
get
moment.
Get a nap today. We're going to the Rocket game tonight.
So Daryl Jeter, who was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And this, you'd think him alongside Wayne Gretzky and other hockey greats like Robert Horry could get in unanimously, but no.
Stop it. You're going to confuse people. So Derek Jeter.
So anyway, Derek Jeter, yeah, he was
on SNL.
They put him in some compromising positions, and he did really well. I think JJ's going to do well. And like I said before, I think the writing on SNL this year has been particularly good. So I think they'll have him some recorded skits. They're going to bring in TJ Watt. That's going to be a big crowd pleaser for a lot of people.
Well, you're predicting that. We don't know that to be true.
Oh, that's true. I'm just, in my mind, it's definitely happening.
Like, when did that get announced?
Sean, what did I just tell you about my sleep deprivation?
You're right on cue, for sure. So, to me, Peyton Manning's the gold standard for athletes, especially former football players, on SNL. Probably the most famous Peyton Manning skit from his SNL appearance was when he was playing football with some kids in a United Way commercial. Take a listen to this. And I'll point out, you're going to hear several thuds in this commercial. Know that those thuds are that's the sound of a football hitting these kids in various parts of their anatomy, their head, their face, their torso. Here is Peyton Manning.
Being a kid can be harder than it looks. Sometimes it helps to have an adult around.
All right.
That's why Peyton Manning takes time out to volunteer with local youth groups.
You guys ready to play some football?
Yeah!
Put our hands in. All right, we're going to have fun. We're going to encourage each other. Teamwork on three. One, two, three. Teamwork!
Peyton uses football to teach valuable lessons of communication.
Check. Watch the sale. Pete, watch the blitz. Brown, 55, Razor. Set. Open. Get open. Put your head out of your ass.
He's beating these kids.
Suck. Let's go. Get back in here. Let's go. Except you. I can't even look at you. You know what? Let's take a portal out for 20 minutes. That's right. You stay in there. Why is the door open? Close the door. Stay in there. Okay, I'm sorry. Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here. I think he's really hurt.
All right, so that's Peyton Manning. Do we think J.J. can reach Peyton level? To me, it's a scale of 1 to Peyton. Peyton was incredible on Saturday Night Live. He's really funny.
By that point, he'd had a lot of experience in doing a bunch of different funny commercials and everything, too. Yeah. And he's genuinely... You know what's funny, though, is a lot of people don't feel that Peyton's very funny. They think the exact opposite.
Well, those people are stupid.
A lot of people really hate those commercials, but I don't know if it's because of their hatred for him as a football player, and they just can't acknowledge or don't want to see it, or maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm the one that's
He carries Paisley in those commercials.
Yeah.
Paisley's got the personality of a mashed potato.
Yeah.
Did you see him on Hard Knocks? Remember when he was in Cleveland Hard Knocks and they bring Paisley to camp? Now, granted, it's a tough position to be put in as a country singer to be asked to motivate a group of football players.
No, but then
hey,
no.
Say something to the team.
Yeah, that part was weird, but it was Paisley and Baker Mayfield hanging out in the RV that was weird.
Yeah.
That's where it got uncomfortable. It was kind of just like a lot of awkward silences. And like at some point I just expected Baker to be like, so we're going to do some blow or what?
Right. Did you see the...
Hey, guys, get the hell out of here.
Seth, did
Paisley
you
and I are going to party.
did you see the UFC fight this weekend where they pan the crowd for celebrities and they put the camera on Myles Garrett? And it says, Myles Garrett, you know, Pro Bowl, defensive end, Cleveland Browns, and Baker Mayfield sitting right next to him.
Oh, really?
They ignored Baker. Yeah. That got a lot of run on the internet.
Is that by choice, or is it just a
Baker was wearing a hat.
Plus, well, Baker might not have been, maybe when they were identifying people in the crowd, Baker had been elsewhere or something. Because I feel like Baker's more recognizable.
Than Myles Garrett.
Just to a general, like, let's say the producer of that show isn't a huge football fan, but knows the sports personalities and everything. He's going to know Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, yeah. We welcome Landry Locker into the show. Hello, Lock Dog.
Hey, I come bearing gifts.
You do?
I come bearing gifts, Sean.
What okay. Is it?
It's a big day today, isn't it? What is today?
Oh, it's his birthday.
Today's no. Oh, it's my birthday. Yeah, I was going to say it's hump day.
It is your birthday, and yeah. It is hump day.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've pulled some strings, and I got a little gift to you.
You did?
Yeah, I did a little something. It's nothing there. It's going to be a gift for your ears. I have awoken one of the biggest sex symbols in the history of this country to serenade you on your birthday. Are you ready?
Yes.
Happy birthday,
Shiny Poo.
Oh.
Happy birthday,
Shiny Poo.
Happy birthday,
Sean P.
Happy birthday to you.
Now, I don't know what I don't know what you're going to think about that, but I did my best.
That,
I did
brother.
My best there.
So you resurrected one of the biggest sex symbols of all time to sing happy birthday.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, go sleep with a Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Any one of them.
I appreciate
even the fat ones.
I appreciate the sentiment and the gesture.
Happy
Landry.
Birthday, man!
Thank you.
Thank you for everything,
Landry.
You do,
I have an issue with how cavalier you are about identifying burner accounts. This is the one thing you have to understand, Landry, and you should know this since you are the younger, more woke fella than I am. Look.
I'm not that woke.
Do you know how easy it is?
Woke is... I feel like you're misusing woke.
Nah, there's no... look, as a fellow woke guy myself, too, I don't appreciate you accusing me of misusing woke. Frankly, it makes me feel like I'm out of my safe place. But I think that what people fail to recognize or realize, Landry, is do you understand how easy it would be to create a burner account to make it look like somebody else has a burner account?
What do you mean?
If somebody is okay, if you guys are identifying a Bill O'Brien burner account, you know how easy it would be for like, oh, hey, I don't like Bill O'Brien. I'm going to go make an account that looks like a Bill O'Brien burner account, and then maybe guys on the radio will identify it as such.
Like you might have gotten duped by this.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like this person's really looking. I mean, they're just going and replying to everything. I could be duped. I could be right. I have no idea. I just know it was created this month. And there's a lot of Bill O'Brien stuff. And I'm not even saying like Bill O'Brien sitting there tweeting it. I'm just saying like something's very weird about that burner account.
That an account that it goes. What I'm saying is this is the next level of like waging war. Because I think it might have happened with Manesh Mehta from the New York Post, a writer who I don't like at all.
Right.
But if you don't like that writer, you can create an account that looks like what a burner account for Manesh Mehta would do, and then
sure
all of a sudden
could.
People are writing articles about it, and it makes Manesh Mehta
he's
look
accused
even
of having
worse
a burner
than he
account.
Is actually already. Yeah, so it's like I feel like we have to have a higher standard of saying, "Hey, this random Twitter account has some kind of validity whatsoever."
Sure.
Okay.
Whatever you say. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what to say to that. Sure.
I'm standing up for anonymous people.
There you go.
And Bill O'Brien, right?
I'm standing
now,
up
in
for
a way.
Bill O'Brien.
You
yeah.
are. You're taking
or any
up,
of his family
you're
members.
You're taking up for OB.
There you go.
Yeah. So what's happening on In the Loop today, my friend?
We got a lot of stuff from the Houston Sports Awards yesterday. We got a lot of very entertaining stuff. We wanted to take the listeners, you know, to the event, not just talk about, you know, how great the event was. So we got a lot of stuff from there. Stanford Routh's going to come in. And then we're gonna have some audio from your favorite group, the Rock Boys. The Rock Boys will be there. There's some
do
other.
Do you have
very
their
good
performance
stuff.
From last night?
I do not want to play that. That was not very entertaining. It was that was weird. And then I think Seth interviewing a clown was really kind of weird to me. I kind of had nightmares on that. That was strange.
That's downright erotic.
I thought he was a great interview.
he actually was a good interview.
That's the weird part.
If you can get past the whole clown thing, it was
Seth, good. What did you do last night? Well, I interviewed Olympian Mary Lou Retton, and I also interviewed a clown.
No, you interviewed Ronald McDonald, the most famous clown in the world.
That's true. Who's
you interviewed the most famous gymnast ever and the most famous clown ever.
That's a good point. I didn't think of it in that perspective.
That's Ronald McDonald.
As I was sitting there,
not some random clown that some kid rented for his birthday or his bar mitzvah.
As Ronald McDonald was talking, and I was thinking about all the decisions I've made in my life that led up to this moment. Maybe I should have actually just been enjoying the interview.
This is the interview that all the roads have led to. This interview with the most famous clown in the world.
It is my profile. I could have put a picture of me and Mary Lou Retton up as my Twitter background, but I chose me and Ronald McDonald.
That's your new Twitter background?
Yeah, that's my new. Yeah,
it's so good.
I like that.
It is so good.
That's very good.
So you'll have a lot of stuff from the Houston Sports Awards.
We'll have a ton right off the top. The biggest takeaway that Lopez had, and he also had an interaction with the owner of the Texans that we'll tell you about immediately as soon as the show starts.
That is a good story. We talked about that at the table last night. Landry, we look forward to it. Thank you for the birthday wishes as well. Landry Locker, John Lopez.
He's not going to be happy with me.
He brings up the Rock Boys. That's the outside linebacker group. Here's the thing. I like all of those guys individually. I think Whitney Mercilus is a gem of a human being. That's why I got the Sportsmanship Award last night. Brennan Scarlett, I think, he's a cool dude. Jacob Martin, I've really liked having him on the team. Who else? Barkevious Mingo, blocked a punt in the Chiefs game. Like, I like all these guys individually. You can't have a group nickname for your position group if you are an underperforming position group. They are not above the average level at their jobs right now.
I have to recuse myself.
You can plead the fifth.
Look, I talked to Whitney last night. I talked to Jacob Martin for a good while. Jacob Martin probably thinks I'm a little bit weird. Because
he's a little bit weird.
Jelani Hawkins, who's a former Texans player, introduced me to him, and immediately, without any introduction of like, "Hey, this guy used to play for the Texans" or anything, I'm like, I go, "Hey, nice to meet you, Jacob. Robert Mathis. You need to go watch Robert Mathis film."
You were some insane fan.
Yeah,
this guy.
But Robert Mathis was an undersized defensive end who played above his weight class and did a lot of things. Like, he came into the league at 235 pounds. He was a lot like Jacob Martin in a lot of ways. And I thought that Robert Mathis is a good guy for him to watch.
If Jacob Martin turns into a player next year, we will look back at the night of the Houston Sports Awards.
Yeah.
And Seth Payne giving him the advice to watch Robert Mathis film.
But I was really excited to talk to Jacob Martin. And he was telling me about kind of his pass rush strategies and everything. And it was pretty cool. I'm excited about the kid. He's got some work to do to become a more well-rounded player, but there's something there.
He's got some juice. If they can just get to the quarterback more, then they can play all the air guitar they want to. That's the thing. It's all about performance, baby. All right, Seth, I will see you at the Rockets game tonight.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then back on the air at 6 a.m.
Andale.
Tomorrow morning. All right, we appreciate y'all tuning in. Have a great day, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.